This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
On the latest episode of Real Help with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by trichologist Claire Fulham, chatting all things hair loss.
I remember then going, I'm losing a bit more hair. Like, I could see hair everywhere. It was all over my desk and work everywhere. And so I went to my GP. She found five big patches on my scalp, one the size of my fist. So I was like, right, what am I going to do about this? Give me a plan. She just looked me dead in the eye and said, there's nothing you can do. I went on list for dermatologists. She had a cancellation and she very quickly said, yes, you have alopecia areata.
As ever, available on all podcast platforms.
Seachtain, an Indo as Gaeilge.
Lower and once you're in a Elnor Donaldson Lish and Ifigoxin, I can hear Lower Jeffrey the Dinyerby.
Ni Heg will in policy Seachtain, Ian Rodayana, you may be real estate occur Lishnabaj Bogashoot.
Skilty, Fis, Turmi.
Nimajigiri in drama Honyal Ama, Tamajigiri, Munchain Honyalista.
Seachtain, find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
With 50 convictions to his name at the time of his sudden demise, Cyril McGuinness was the puppet master of one of the most sadistic and shocking crimes in Ireland's recent history, the 2019 kidnapping and torture of businessman Kevin Lunny.
I felt that I was going to die on the road. I felt when I was trying to get to the light in the house, a lot of things went through my mind.
Better known as Dublin Jimmy, McGuinness's links to the underworld stretched far and wide, and he developed a reputation as an out-and-out criminal who was shrewd and able to get the job done, so long as it was for the right price.
He had close links to a number of individuals in the Continuity IRA, some of those individuals serving jail sentences for the Kevin Lunny attack would have close connections with the Hutch mob in Dublin.
Despite his death 5 years ago, Dublin Jimmy continues to make headlines in the latest in a series of court cases linked to the thug.
What is suspected is that Cyril McGuinness, the brother of Fran McGuinness, was behind this campaign against the former Quinn group.
Last month, there was another arson attack at a tyre factory in Belturbet. It's owned by another senior manager at Quinn Industrial Holdings. In a statement, the company said the arson attacks are part of a campaign of threats and intimidation by people who've sought the return of Sean Quinn to the company.
I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by Ken Foy, crime correspondent with the Irish Independent, to look at the life of one of Ireland's most savage gangsters who spent his criminal career taking any side for money. Ken Foy, Dublin Jimmy, he died 5 years ago, but he's resurfaced again down the courts. Who is Dublin Jimmy and why are we talking about him again now?
Well, Dublin Jimmy was his nickname. He was a notorious gangster, Cyril McGuinness. I suppose he's best known as being the criminal mastermind who orchestrated a horrific abduction of Kevin Lunny back in 2019. He subsequently died of a heart attack 2 months later when a safe house that he was living in the Derby area of the UK was raided by UK police. But he had been a very notorious criminal for well over 30 years until the time of his death and had connections to international crime gangs, dissident Republicans. He was even rumoured to be involved with the British Secret Service, and really one of Ireland's most notorious and high-profile criminals. The reason he's back in the news this week, it's in relation to a court case that's ongoing in the High Court.
Who's actually on trial here?
Fran McGuinness, his brother, who's long estranged from Cyril, is taking an action against the Garda Commissioner and the state. Fran McGuinness is a truck dealer who had been based at the family home in Swords for many, many decades, where he ran his business. And he is basically alleging that a search that happened at adjoining that property in Swords back in August 2014 was, in fact, illegal. In that search, Gardaí seized something like 15 vehicles, and he alleges, which the Gardaí deny, that envelopes containing €2,000 and €1,800 were seized. But the Gardaí dispute his claims, and yesterday in the High Court, a retired superintendent who was in charge of the operation gave evidence that the search happened because a vehicle of interest that the Garda investigation uncovered in relation to an arson attack that caused around €600,000 worth of damage to a Quinn Group packaging plant was identified. They suspected that it was linked back to this property, and that's why the search happened. And in the course of this evidence, in this ongoing case in the High Court, it was revealed that around €6 million worth of damage to property and people's lives had been put at risk in relation to a campaign of arson and vandalism, which wasn't said in court. But what is suspected is that Sir McGuinness, the brother of Fran McGuinness, was behind this campaign against the former Quinn Group.
It's believed petrol was used to set fire to a car belonging to Dara O'Reilly, the company's chief financial officer, at his home in Butler's Bridge on Wednesday night. He, his wife and two young children had just gone to bed. He says they're shocked but relieved they're safe.
Also, this week we heard reference to three individuals convicted for the Kevin Lunny abduction and attack. Why was that?
The three individuals that were convicted in relation to the Lunny attack would be people that would have been widely believed to have been recruited by Sir McGuinness in relation to this. They had no prior knowledge of Kevin Lunny. They simply, it's suspected, did it for money. Now, they're three individuals from the north inner city of Dublin, very serious gangland criminals. And they are serving very significant sentences that were imposed by the Special Criminal Court in relation to the attack on Kevin Lunny.
The 40-year-old ringleader who inflicted the most serious injuries on Mr. Lunny was jailed for 30 years. He can't be named for legal reasons. The two other defendants are from East Wall in Dublin. 40-year-old Alan O'Brien was jailed for 25 years, and Darren Redmond, who's 27, for 15 years.
The judge, Tony Hunt, at the time warned that if the so-called paymaster, that is the person that had actually employed Sir McGuinness, who in turn employed these three North inner city criminals, was to come before the courts and be convicted, that individual would be facing a life sentence.
Now, again, we should point out Dublin Jimmy, Sir McGuinness, is dead 5 years, but his name is popping up still in a number of courts. Tell me about Edward Killian.
This is in relation to a number of front companies that Sir McGuinness used in relation to money laundering scams. Edward Killian is a typical victim, if you like, in relation to the way Dublin Jimmy operated. Evidence was given that he had met the criminal in a pub in Sligo. This was a man down on his luck. He hadn't worked himself for something like almost 30 years, Mr. Killian. And he was approached by Dublin Jimmy and basically agreed to become a director of a company, despite the fact he had no knowledge of how to operate a company. Almost €1 million was laundered in a bank account that Mr. Killian had set up between September 2018 and October 2019. And a further €600,000 was laundered in the account between April 2019 and October 2019.
And Frank Kilbride, a former Fine Gael politician, he also fell foul of Dublin Jimmy.
He's a two-time former mayor of County Longford, Frank Kilbride, who would be very well known in country music circles.
Hi folks, don't forget to join us this week on the Frank Kilbride Show. Yes, we'll be featuring country legends.
That's still waiting for a sentence after pleading guilty to laundering over €2.6 million. He was down on his luck, essentially, and he got taken advantage of by one of Dublin Jimmy's closest associates. And he was in financial bother, and he ended up agreeing to let cash go through his account. It's alleged that Dublin Jimmy himself threatened him with a firearm, and his associates allegedly have been continuing to threaten Mr. Kilbride, even though as Dublin Jimmy is long, long dead.
Dublin Jimmy, a long-time gangster, basically, but really came to public prominence as a result of the abduction of Kevin Lunny in 2019. What was it about Kevin Lunny at that time that made him a target?
Well, Kevin Lunny is a businessman from County Fermanagh, highly respected. And at the time, he was director of Quinn Industrial Holdings, the companies which make up this entity were formerly owned by Sean Quinn, who was once Ireland's richest man. But when his business empire collapsed, businessmen backed by three investment funds bought its manufacturing companies in December 2014. And basically what happened then, it just resulted in a lot of tension and a lot of criminality ended up being sparked from it. So the associates of McGuinness, there was a lot of trouble around the border at the time, and Kevin Lunny became a target.
So tell us then about the events of September 17, 2019.
Mr. Lunny had driven into the lane leading to his home, but it was shortly after 6 p.m. that evening, and he saw a car ahead of him. And in interviews he's done, he said the car was reversed into his car, and he was basically kidnapped. A Stanley knife was put to his neck, and he was bundled into the boot of a black Audi and driven off from his home, which was on the northern side of the border, into County Cavan, where he was brought into kind of an old farmyard space where he was tortured.
It was either a baseball bat or a short fence post. And I heard it breaking, and I roared, and the pain was awful. And then he said to the other guy who was holding the torch, he said, did that snap? And the guy says, no. So immediately he hit it again, same place or close. And it was 100 times worse the second time.
It was a horrific, horrific episode. A Stanley knife was used, his leg was broken, and it went on for a sustained period of time.
The brutality of that attack really did hit home to people. His clothes are cut off him using that Stanley knife, and literally his body is cut. He deliberately cut across the face. He's deliberately cut underneath his fingernails to make sure that it was deep enough to cause severe pain.
He took the Stanley knife and he just went five or six scrapes down each side. So he said, just so that you remember why you're here, he said QAH across the chest with the Stanley knife.
How does he basically emerge alive from this brutal ordeal?
He was very, very lucky to survive, because he was dumped on a country road in the middle of the night, basically. Anyone could have run over him.
I remember stopping a few times because I just couldn't go any further. And I remember thinking about the kids, Brona, everything. I was thinking, I don't think I'll make this. But I did keep going and I kept pushing.
And he's basically found by a farmer in a passing tractor. And Gardaí are alerted, and there's obviously a massive investigation into this. Because of Kevin Lunny's status in what was left of the Quinn Group at that stage, how did Sean Quinn respond to news of this kidnapping and torture?
To this day, Sean Quinn has absolutely and completely denied any involvement in it.
I'd have no hand, act or part or no knowledge or no gain. I'd have no benefit from doing anything to Kevin Lunny. Kevin Lunny and I were good friends for years.
He's definitely said he's had nothing to do with the arson attacks, which Gardaí believe were masterminded by Dublin Jimmy.
Just think about why would I bother my head with Kevin Lunny?
And he's actually, as well, at a time called for the intimidation to stop.
As a result of the Garda investigation, it's actually the bottle of bleach that and the purchase of it that leads the Gardaí, the individuals concerned. Dublin Jimmy is identified as the organiser of this abduction and torture, even if he wasn't present himself. Just outline to us, again, he's tracked down.
The purpose of the police raid back in November 2019 in the Derby area of England was to arrest him on that particular day. It was kind of a morning of high drama. The English police arrived on his door where he thought he was in a certain sense of sanctuary.
When Derbyshire police burst into the house where he was staying at 8:30 this morning, the 53-year-old fell ill, collapsed and died.
Just to confirm, so the PS and I commissioned a search in England. We're supported by police officers there, and a report has been that a man has died, which is very regrettable.
One supposes that if Dublin Jimmy had not died on that occasion, we would have heard a lot more about his relationship with the mysterious paymaster who is behind such attacks as the abduction and torture of Kevin Lunny. How do we explain that relationship, and what criminal characteristics did the paymaster identify in recruiting Dublin Jimmy?
Well, we're in a grey area there, Fiona. A lot of these communications are unknown. It seems to have been fairly well covered up. Now, there is a paymaster. Even the esteemed judge, Tony Hunt, referred to him when those hefty, massive sentences were handed down to the three North Inner City individuals. But the exact relationship between the so-called paymaster and Dublin Jimmy is not clearly known. Now, as late as last October, Garda Commissioner Drew Harris said publicly that Gardaí are still attempting to pursue the so-called paymaster. But the truth is, at this particular stage, Fionnán, I have my personal doubts whether this so-called paymaster will ever be brought to justice. I think the communications between him and Dublin Jimmy have been managed to be kind of covered up, if you like. There seems to be a slight lack of evidence.
And Dublin Jimmy's passing means that so much information goes with him to the grave. How big a deal was he in the criminal underworld? I mean, it's not as if he was anybody that was new on the Garda radar.
He got his nickname because he's actually from Swords in North County Dublin, and very near the airport, he would have grown up. Basically, he was a really significant criminal. He had more than 50 criminal convictions. When we're talking about this particular campaign against Quinn Industrial Holdings, there was 60 arson attacks. And it's estimated that the overall value is, at least, of all these attacks, was €6 million.
The attacks started quite low scale, and then they soon intensified. From cutting electricity wires to setting fire to vehicles to crashing cars into sides of buildings, part of an ongoing campaign of intimidation and threats to try to warn off people who were maybe attempting to buy parts of the business.
Back in the good old days of the Evening Herald, he made prominent headlines after he basically made a death threat to a judge as a 21-year-old man back in Swords District Court. He was an individual that had a hatred of authority, and he kind of graduated, like a lot of young thugs, to become a fairly serious and significant player in organised crime. One of his big scams was illegally transporting waste from Ireland to Scotland. He got exposed, I think at the time, with a BBC documentary, more than anything else, led the authorities to act. But he ended up admitting 22 charges relating to the illegal transport of waste. But on that occasion was only given a suspended sentence. And he had connections with criminals all across Europe. And there was the Belgian authorities had issued a European arrest warrant for him. He was bizarrely arrested on the Serbian border. And this was to be brought back to Belgium to serve a 7-year sentence. This was in 2009, but he ended up serving less than 2 years in Belgium. So he was back in Ireland by 2011. And that was kind of typical of him. He seemed to always almost get off.
He was a guy as well who seemed to play every side, both of the law and the criminal fraternity and the Republican movement and the splinter groups of the IRA. Tell me about some of those apparently contradicting positions that he adopted.
It's unconfirmed, and it never will be, that he was an agent for MI5, but MI5 will never be confirming that. What is known is that he had close links to a number of individuals in the continuity IRA. Some of those individuals who are ultimately serving jail sentences for the Kevin Lunny attack would have close connections with the Hutch mob in Dublin. But if you think of this individual as well and his European connections, he's someone that was caught by police around the border area between Serbia and Croatia, wanted by Belgian authorities in relation to the robbery of plant machinery, which was probably his main source of income, and he was doing that on an international scale.
So this is a guy who was at the heart of a web of criminality, domestic, international, cross-border. He was an equal opportunities criminal, I suppose one would say. How will we remember this criminal thug, Dublin Jimmy Cyril McGuinness?
Well, people that have come across him will always say the only thing that he was governed by, the only thing that he cared about was money. And the very fact of what we were just saying there, Fiona, in relation to his different links, it shows he's quite unscrupulous. What will we remember him by? I suppose, as we say, we were in the newsroom that day when the news of Kevin Lunny's abduction and torture broke.
It was either a baseball bat or a short fence post. And I heard it breaking, and I roared, and the pain was awful.
He was the person that those torturers were on the phone to that day. He's the person that masterminded it on the instructions of the individual we call the paymaster. So it's the Kevin Lunny abduction, I think, more than anything, that he will be remembered for.
And my thanks to Ken Foy for joining me. I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today's episode of The Indo Daily was produced by Ian Doyle, researched by Dave Hanratty, recorded by Gav Hennessy, with sound design by John Smith. Archive clips from BBC Spotlight, RTE, Virgin Media, Quinn Country and The Irish Independent. If you enjoy The Indo Daily, don't forget to follow the podcast and leave us a review.
An Irish Independent digital subscription doesn't just get you the news. It gets you the best of Ireland's stories all in one place. Whether it's the best of politics, business, sport, entertainment or lifestyle. Get it all for just €4 a month for 12 months when you first subscribe. Visit independent.ie/subscribe today. Irish Independent. Terms and conditions apply. Cancel anytime.